This episode of Recovery Rocks is sponsored by SoberLink. And Lisa and I know that it's not just recovery that rocks, but waking up clear-headed rocks, remembering what you did the night before rocks, and so does establishing healthy relationships and accountability with the people that you love.
And we know that can be hard. SoberLink's remote alcohol monitoring system is designed to help you reclaim stability in your life and sustain a sober lifestyle. It's trusted by thousands of treatment professionals nationwide.
Click the link in our show notes to learn more about SoberLink and get $50 off your device. Shout out to SoberLink.
Hey, everybody. What is up? It's Lisa, and I am looking at my favorite person, goddess, hottest, BFF, my Tawny.
Hello, my love.
Introduce yourself. I introduced you accidentally.
No, I liked when you introduced me. Thank you. It took the pressure off.
Okay. So we have a topic today that is, I think, one of the more fun ones, but it's also serious because there's a lot we have to do around it for ourselves in recovery, and that is sober travel in the height of the summer season. And I know a lot of people are on the road. I have been traveling nonstop.
You have.
It's ridiculous. I mean, it's been all good. It's been great stuff. I went to Italy for like 10 days where I got to see, we visited a dear friend who moved to Italy with his family to Bologna recently. And I got to go to Milan and to visit sort of like the last tarot artisans. And it was a great trip, but you know, it's a lot. And then we went to, I had to go to New York for speaking and to see my brother and my nephew. And then I had, we went to Austin for 4 days for a wedding. Then as soon as I got back from that, I went that Friday to Chicago for a graduation. So for anybody who read my book, you would know my dear friend, Jessica. Who is still my dear friend. And you might remember there was a bouncing baby on one of our knees. I can't remember if he was on my knee or her knee, but he was on our knees. Nathaniel, who had just been born. And I met Jessica in Chicago for Nathaniel's graduation from U Chicago Law School. And it was amazing. Because, you know, I don't have kids, so I live vicariously through other people's. But I was literally in the hospital the day he was born. So I was there with Jessica and Russell, and I was in charge of bringing champagne and sushi because yes. Jessica had not been able to have those. And so I've known this kid, this wonderful kid, man, who visited me last summer out here in California. He's, you know, it was very special. And I've got some more travel to do for my own nephew's graduation and from high school and some other stuff. But yeah, so I feel all the feels around the travel, the tired, I get cranky, I get out of my routine, I hate it. And it's travel can be a super triggering thing.
First of all, that's a lot of travel. I went on one trip and that took all of my energy. But that is so much travel, Lisa. Like, and you've always, as long as I've known you, you've always traveled a lot.
Yeah. Yeah. So, but this was just staring down the barrel of like, I remember dreading at the beginning of it being, even though the first trip was Italy, being like, oh my gosh, this is gonna go on for a long time. I'm not gonna be, you know, home for a long time.
Yeah.
And dreading it and just kind of being like, okay, I'm gonna do, you know, what we always do, one trip at a time, one day at a time, and trying to stay very much like in the moment. And that has worked, but I had to bring, as I always, always do, my tools with me, right? So I've gotten pretty good at now. First of all, I always know I can find a meeting if I need a meeting. And I can Zoom on a meeting now, which never, when I used to travel before, you know, before COVID, when I did a ton of traveling, I would go to meetings in different cities because that's what works for me, not necessarily for everybody. But now I can Zoom in. And it's really been much easier that way. But also taking care of, you know, what I need to take care of in terms of sleep, in terms of trying to eat some of the right things, even though I ate everything I could lay my hands on in Italy, that was great.
Yes.
You know, I was going to eat whatever I wanted, but also making sure that I was staying, you know, a little bit healthier on that. And so, also being connected. We were texting, you and me, you know, like I stayed connected to family, friends, and I didn't get lonely. And I also, you know, one of these things with travel that I think I always underestimate as a challenge in travel, but it is a real challenge, is that we set up these expectations for a trip, an event, mm-hmm. a thing, and we feel like we have to make it perfect, right? Like there were days in Italy where we were there for like, you know, 10 days probably, where I would be like, okay, let's go walk around this morning, but then I just got to chill out this afternoon.
Yeah.
You know?
To recharge,
right? So I can't do everything all the time, and that's okay. You know, that's how, that's how it should be. Like there, it's all like keeping that balance is very, it's very challenging, for sure.
I recently went to Mexico on a yoga retreat, and this was my only travel this year, and that was like in May. So as soon as, you know, I got on the plane and I'm like, you know, so excited to go and get away and just be in a little beach house. I'm on the airplane and this, you know, buckling in my seatbelt, and this dude sitting next to me, he was joking, like, do our tickets come with shots of tequila? And I was just, I laughed. I was just, you know, it's like, whatever. So just, you know, being around that environment reminded me how I used to equate travel with vacation mode. I was just like, oh yeah, I'm going to this place. Let's drink. I'm going to this place. Let's party. And also just travel in general can, even if you're not trying to party, it can bring up a lot of anxiety and stress. And having a drink is a really easy way to calm that down. I'm so removed from that. Like I've talked about, you know, and several people brought up tequila and margaritas, and you know, I was an American in Mexico, so of course the servers were trying to sell me tequila.
Of course.
But it would be super easy. You know, you and I talk about the anonymity of travel sometimes and how, like, I'd be like, no one knows me here. I can have a margarita.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
What's one gonna do? You know? And I'm grateful that I, you know, like you said, I travel with my toolbox, usually metaphorical toolbox.
Yeah.
But I didn't feel triggered in those moments, but you know, it was a good reminder that alcohol is truly everywhere and everyone around you is trying to get you to drink with them.
Yeah. I mean, and when people say things like that, like where's the tequila?
Yeah.
It pisses me off. I'm at the point where like, it kind of pisses me off. And when we were in, you know, it was in Italy, you know, we're at these restaurants and it's all, you know, the wine and whatever. They're like, what? Not four glasses, three glasses? What? Like, oh, you know, that can be, you know, it's a thing that just throws this little like blast of discomfort at me for a minute, you know, and then I can get back to it. But it doesn't, you know, it's just, I notice it when it happens more than anything.
Totally. And, you know, there's also, there is this element of being left out that still sucks.
Yes, you know, that's what even, it is when they're like, oh, only three of you will be sharing
exactly
this wine. Right.
I was on a yoga retreat. So when I do travel now, I'm more mindful of the type of travel that I do. You know, I was the only sober person on this yoga retreat, but yoga in general, people aren't going to go spend a week on a beach in Mexico to do yoga twice a day and drink. You know, like even if they drink, they're not partying, you know, like, so those are the types of vacations I need to be at. There was one night where there was no alcohol at the beach house. But there was one night that it was margarita night and everyone had margaritas and they made me a non-alcoholic one, which I appreciated, but it was just still this moment of like, you know, we arrive at the place, the server has a tray of margaritas and everyone else grabs one but me. And it just sucks.
Yeah.
You know, it's
it's
unpleasant. It feels like an afterthought of like, I'm a weirdo, you know, and and even with 7.5 years of recovery and such a strong support system, if I'm still feeling like that, I know how difficult it can be for people that are still counting days, like still very early in their recovery and attempting travel.
Sure. Yeah. And you know what? Also, that is very true. And so just know that we feel like that sometimes too. I think part of it is that we have, when I was more in it, like when I would be going to work stuff and I'd be like, no, I'm not drinking that, I was in the habit of doing that, right? You and I are no longer in that habit of being around people who drink, you know, on a regular basis. Like I would be the only one not drinking at something at least once a week. So I sort of, you know, it did get to a point where it slid off me. I didn't care. But now I'm so rarely exposed to that kind of situation that I think I almost feel it in a more acute way than I did when it was, you know, when I had gotten a little sober time under my belt and it was just how things went, you know? So yeah, in that sense, like it was, I remember, because when we were sitting at that table in Italy, for instance, like I was like, oh yeah, I haven't had to do this lately. You know, be like, no, just three glasses. Craig's really good. Craig jumps in and he'll be like, three glasses. Like it's no big deal.
Yeah.
Whatever. You know, we were out with my friend and his wife. And so like, I hadn't worked them out. I think it's like when we were going to the awards thing in New York for the Signal Awards and we were all excited going to the event. And you were like, oh, it's not a sober event. Like people are going to be drinking there. We're like, oh, you know, because
we're just
so used to it. Right. And that's sort of why I think it hit me more acutely in Italy than it did, say, you know, when I was still working, you know, 4 years ago when I was still, you know, at a law firm and in those situations a lot. But yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. It's tough. It's really tough. And I think places are definitely getting better at offering non-alcoholic drink options. In New York. I don't know, like, what about where you are? Are you seeing, like, seeing mocktail menus with like plentiful options, like several really interesting options on many, many restaurants now. Like are you seeing that too?
I'm seeing that, and I'm seeing like, oh, and not everywhere. I shouldn't say that, everywhere, but in enough places that I definitely see it as it's happening in, you know, more and more stuff. Like if they have like their crazy concoction cocktails, it'll be a note like can be made.
Yes, I've seen that too. I like that.
Yeah, I like that a lot. But
it's just nice to be considered. Like, you know,
just to make it, oh, you've made this easy, You exactly. acknowledge that it's perfectly normal for someone to want to have something without that in it.
Exactly. Like if I, Nick knows when we're making dinner reservations and we're going to a new restaurant, if they don't have a non-alcoholic drink menu, he knows that we're not going to go there because he doesn't care. But I do. Yeah. Like, I don't want to go somewhere. I don't want to go on a nice dinner where we're going to spend like a decent amount of money on a nice dinner and have a Diet Coke. Like, right. I, you know, like I want to have like a drink is can be part of the sensory experience when you have a nice dinner. And right. that's important to me. And I, if I go somewhere and I'm like, do you have any non-alcoholic drinks? They're like, yeah, we have tea, we have Sprite. I'm just like, get with it, guys. Like, where have you been?
Yes, it's true. It's true. It's not that hard. And as we've always said, like, restaurants should want to make money off of us. We'll pay
seriously, look at it from a purely profit perspective.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
I'm either going to spend $2 on a Diet Coke or I'll spend $10 on a mocktail. I don't care what's right. like it's very easy for you to do this for us.
Yes.
But it's changing. It's definitely changing. But you know, nothing on, I've not seen anything in airports now that I think about it, like non-alcoholic.
Oh no, that'll
options.
Never happen.
Airport is like the Bermuda's Triangle, where it's just like people are like taking shots at 8 a.m. It's just eating cheeseburgers.
Well, it's like a casino. There's no clock.
There's no clock.
You know what I mean? Unless you look at that board very closely, you don't know what time it is.
Yes, exactly.
People just landed from a red eye. People are getting, you know, whatever. Who knows? But it is. It's a total free for all.
It's like the Wild West.
It is. And for some reason, I'm not even finding in some airports freaking like club soda or sparkling water to buy. I don't know what's going on. But anyway, that's a digression. But the other thing about the whole airport thing raises another good point on sober travel. It's a challenge is, you know, there's a real loss of control, right? Your plane has a maintenance issue. It's raining in wherever you're supposed to get to. And all of a sudden,
that's true.
You know what I mean? You're thrown off. You might miss. It's so stressful. It is just the travel experience now is so stressful.
Going through the TSA line, the stress of you have to get to the airport early enough, getting to the airport is stressful. Yeah. Like, there's just so many layers. And I think you hit the nail on the head when you said, like, you can't control any of it. Like, you are like, and I love to be in control. So when I'm thrown in a situation,
it's very common for us. You know, it's very common. People in recovery, people who deal with substance use issues and mental health issues, like trying to control things is very important. And for me, it goes to like the regimentation, like my routine insanity.
Yes, good point.
You know, it goes to that. And so I think that, you know, I really had to, on this trip, I really had to check it at the door because there's no way, like with, you know, with traveling to, we had to, going to Europe now is a 22-hour event from Southern California. And
Jesus.
There, you know, we had a layover in Newark between from San Diego to Newark and then to Milan. And I started stressing like 3 days before the trip about, are we going to miss our connection and not get to
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, and that takes like active management of that stress, right? That takes me going, okay, you have zero control over this, but it's still, you know, it's in my mind. And the only way, I had to work with my therapist for a long time to get to where, you know, where we got on this, that really helps me, which is going, okay, so then what's the worst that happens? You miss your connection. What happens?
Yes.
You spend the night in DC and maybe they can get us on the flight tomorrow. Okay. And if they don't, then what happens? Then we are losing, you know, we've lost our hotel and, you know, we're going to try to get there. But we might, okay, then what happens? You know, and the worst of it, it's not arms and legs at the end of the day, right? Nobody's going to the hospital. Like, it's a matter of, okay, things happen in life. Like, sorry, your, you know, Italian vacation has gotten interfered with. There are a lot, you know.
Yeah.
That I can live with. That is something like we can deal with. And, you know, I amp myself up to this point where, you know, and somehow I feel like it's going to be my fault. And you know, like something like if this vacation fails, somehow I fail. It's insane.
And, oh my God.
But I have to use those tools.
That's so that I'm laughing at, like, because I relate it, like, if I miss my connection, then I'm a failure as a human being. Like,
right?
We make it mean so much.
Oh
yeah, and it
God.
Doesn't. It doesn't mean like it. It's like, you know, life happens on life's terms. You can't control anything. And you're right. You're playing the tape to the end. Like, okay, you miss your connection.
Yeah.
Then what? You know, and you can apply that to anything. Like, what if I miss this deadline? What if this happens? What if this happens? Okay, like
yeah.
let's talk it out. Let's actually
What's
go
the
there.
Worst that's gonna happen? You're gonna end up going home, and your vacation will have been canceled.
You will be inconvenienced and it will suck, but you will be okay.
Right.
For Music Minute, I've been singing Aeroplane by our Chili Peppers in my head.
By our Chili Peppers?
Yeah.
I love that. Yeah, I
hours.
Do like that song.
They're ours.
They are. They are our Chili Peppers because they are, that is sort of like old school Chili Peppers or older
yeah.
school.
That is old school.
Right.
I remember that music video vividly.
Yeah, that was Dave Navarro era mm-hmm. Chili Peppers.
Yeah.
Amazing that there was Dave Navarro Chili Peppers.
That was an
Peppers.
Era.
Yeah. I like that. I was thinking the Go-Go's Vacation.
Oh, perfect.
And also Madonna's Holiday.
I was about to sing that.
Cool.
But I'm
not. Were you?
I was about to sing the chorus,
anyway.
And I'm not gonna. We don't want to lose any listeners. They're not subscribing to hear me sing.
I remember being like 18 years old when Holiday came out, Madonna's Holiday, being at the beach. I worked as a cocktail waitress on Fire Island, and just like all of us being in our like those like. Plastic black bangle bracelets
yeah.
that you wore all the way up your arm and like
lace,
you know,
lots of lace,
your ponytail, yeah, lots of lace. So,
yes,
yeah. Well, so if you're traveling, be safe, be patient, and have fun, right?
Exactly. Have fun and bring your toolbox, and we will see you next time. Have a good week.
Thanks for listening. We hope you like what you heard. If so, please hit subscribe and consider rating and reviewing us so others can find us. Tawny, how can our listeners find you?
You can find me at Tawny M. Lara on all of the social medias. And you can find my blog, Sobriety Party, sobrietyeaparty.com. Lisa, how can we find you and your amazing book?
My book is Girl Walks Out of a Bar, and it is available at bookstores everywhere and online. And you can find me at lisasmithadvisory.com. And I'm on social media at Girl Walks Out. Thanks for listening.